We'll be looking at Psalm 107 today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107 is a call to the Lord's people to praise him for his grace and power in their lives. The redeemed are called on to give thanks. This phrase has the idea of extending the hands in praise and glory. We praise him because he is good. This word refers to that which is beautiful, that which is best, that which is fine, that which is kind, that which is lovely, and that which is sweet. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise him for his mercy. As you read the psalm, it becomes clear that God was behind all the disruptions that we encountered in life. While he might have been behind the pain, he did not forsake us to our problems. He works in us to bring us to a place of restoration and blessing. This psalm was probably written after Israel had been delivered from their bondage in Assyria and Babylon. They were reminded of what the Lord allowed them to suffer because of their sins. They had broken the covenant, and how the Lord delivered them when they called on him by faith. They're reminded of the consequences of their sins, and they're reminded of the grace that God showed them and to forgiving their sins and restoring them. They called on to praise the Lord for his mercy and grace in their lives. They were also reminded that God is ever faithful to hear and restore those who call on him. There is a word here for us today. The saints of God are reminded of where the Lord found us and how he delivered us from our terrible condition. Because he has moved in power, the redeemed are challenged to praise the Lord in verses 2 and 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. By the way, the very fact that we have been redeemed is enough, is more than enough of a reason for the saints to praise him. The very word redeemed suggests the payment of a price. God redeemed us by sending his son to die for us so that we might be saved from our sins. I'm saved today and headed to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ took my place on the cross, suffered my hell, and endured the awful wrath of God that was intended for me. That's enough to praise him for all eternity. And in this psalm, he gives us even more reasons to praise him, to cry out praises to him. I want you to notice with me four divisions in this psalm. They tell us of where God found us when he saved us. They also remind us that he still possesses all the power necessary to deliver us from what we face as his children in this life. Even a brief glance at these verses reveals the truth that the Lord has delivered us out of our terrible circumstances in the past. May we never forget that our God has never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God changes not. Look at James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And God comes down, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Our God does not change. The God who delivered us in the past is the same God who walks with us today. Praise the Lord, for He is good. While these verses tell us where we came from, they also point out what the Lord can do with the trials that we face in this life. Brother, sister, are you facing trials today? If this message finds you in any of these places, just let this psalm remind you that God is still on the throne. Let us not forget all of His benefits. This psalm will teach us that it doesn't just save His people from their sins. He also saves us day by day. He saves those of us who are in the deserts of life. We see in verses 4 and 5, He solves us of our problem. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He delivered them out of their distresses. No road, no company, no rest, no supplies, and no hope. These people in our text, in the Psalms, they're in a desperate condition. Notice what it says, verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate place. That word means to stagger. They were staggering in the desert. They were wandering. They were alone. They were weak, and they were nearly gone. We were all there when we were lost, brothers and sisters. When we were dead in our sins and trespasses, God made us alive. God delivers us from our problems. They called on the name of the Lord, the only place where hope can be found. It says, brothers and sisters, that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to the Lord. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, brothers and sisters, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Do you know of that peace today? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. While they were in the desert, God heard their cry. They cried out. We need to cry out when we're in the deserts of life. And He provided their provision in our text. Verses 6 and 7, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their trespasses, and He led them forth. Oh, and He led them forth. The Holy Spirit is leading us by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Go to a city for a dwelling place. Deliverance. He has put us on a new road that leads to a new destination. Remember, brothers and sisters, we aren't home yet. The trouble that you're in, it shall pass. We're not home yet. There'll be some hard places along the way. But we are headed to a city that's promised to us in Revelation 21, verse 4. Start at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. There'll be no more death, praise Him, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What a promise from our God. The former things have passed away. And our psalm tells us in verses 8 and 9 that will call praise to rise up in us when we understand this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Are you a longing soul? Are you a hungry soul? God will satisfy us. And he causes us to praise when we understand that. The saints are challenged to praise the Lord for his worthiness, his goodness, his perfect satisfaction. He, and he alone, will satisfy us. Far too often we're looking to be satisfied by the things of this world. The things of this world will never satisfy a soul, a person that has been regenerated, a person that is born again. Only God can satisfy that soul. The saints of God should praise the Lord because we were wandering. We were alone. And we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And until he came to us, he saved us and led us out. For God is good. Let us praise the Lord. He saves those, delivers those that are locked in the dungeon of life. Look at verses 10 through 16 in Psalm 107. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Brothers and sisters, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, we rebelled against the words of God. He told us what to do. Our conscience told us what to do. And it says, and the people despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Oh, the ways of this world, brothers and sisters. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. That is the way that we found ourselves apart from Christ, in chains and bondage to this world. Locked in darkness, imminent death, bound and afflicted, helpless and alone. And all of it, brothers and sisters, was brought on by our own sins, prisons. And unfortunately, some of us are even trapped in prison today. Prisons of fear, prisons of worry, prisons of loneliness, besetting sins, jealousy, unforgiveness. Bound up in the past, the hurts, the heartaches, the hatred, all are just as real as prisons of iron and steel. But God delivered us. The people in our text in verse 13, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. They cried out to the Lord. They did the right thing and they called on the name of the Lord. The redeemed do not have to walk in bondage, brothers and sisters. Not only has Christ paid the penalty for our sins, but he has also broken the power of sin in our lives. And now by faith, we count that to be true. And all the scriptures we count to be true by faith, that tell us that we're dead to sin, but alive to God. We need not be bound in sin any longer. We have a resource. We can take our burden to the Lord. And in our text, we see how he delivered from bondage and death and darkness. Look at verses 13 and 14. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains. And they broke their chains in pieces, delivered from bondage, from death, from darkness, set free from their dungeon by the power of Almighty God. And he's able to deliver you, child of God, that's listening today. He's able to deliver you from whatever it is that may have you bound. And how can I say that? For that is the promise that Christ made in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Liberty for those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable day of the Lord. For every day we can cry out to the Lord with our problems, our pains, our heartaches. We can go to him in prayer with to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we're to let our petitions be made known to the Lord. The people in our text, that's what they cried out for, that the Lord would deliver them. And as a result, verses 15 and 16, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of God, for he has broken the gates of bronze. Now, brothers and sisters, you count that to be true. He has broken the gates of bronze. He has cut the bars of iron into fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities were afflicted. We need not, brothers and sisters, live in sin. The scripture says that we're fools if we live in transgressions and sins. We need not. We're to praise the worthy name. For Christ has broken our bonds and released us from bondage. You might be bound today, but the Lord has promised that he can open your prison and set you free today. If we're saved, we've already been set free, and we have a reason to praise the Lord. How many times has he set you free from various trials since you have known him? The saints of God should praise the Lord because we were trapped in a terrible dungeon, chained in our sins and awaiting execution. The Lord came to us where we were and loosed our bounds, delivered us from our prison, and set us free. Hallelujah. But to praise the Lord for his goodness, for he is our deliverer. He even saves those who are lying on their deathbed. As we get older, that becomes more of a reality in our lives. We think of it more and more. In your 20s and your teens, you think, you don't think too often of it. But as you get older, you think of it more and more. He saves those. Verses 17 and 18 of our text. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Because they had disregarded the word of God, they were afflicted and near death. These are people who are at the bottom of the heap. Do you find yourself at the bottom of the heap today? They were sick in soul. And what did they do? Once again, verse 19. They prayed, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They seek the face of the Lord for the deliverance from their situation. The prayer that needs to be prayed is mentioned in 1 John 1:9, it is the prayer of confession and repentance. Maybe your sins and your transgressions have caused you to fall away. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even as he did with the people in our text today in Psalm 107. Confession and repentance. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Notice verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. How precious is that? He sent his word and healed them. That is what the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, do every day of our lives. He brings up the text to us. He brings up the scriptures to us. That's why it's so important to know the Bible, to study the Bible. For what other thing can the Lord use, can the Holy Spirit use, but the scripture? The scripture says, and sanctify them with the word. You're sanctified. Sanctification has to do with your day by day existence. You're justified by grace through faith. And then you're sanctified by faith day by day. You read the scriptures. The Holy Spirit brings the scriptures to you. And you're sanctified day by day. The Lord heard their prayer and sent the very thing they had hated to heal them. Verses 19 and 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. They knew his word, but they had ignored his word constantly, over and over and over for 40 years in the desert. They knew his word. He had given Moses the word for them to heal them and to deliver them, but yet they doubted. How many of us, we struggle with doubt every day. Every day we doubt the Lord about something, no matter what it is. And if you say you don't doubt him, well, get ready, because he's going to put you in a place to cause you to praise him. Who has believed his report? And once again, when he delivers you, results in praise. Verses 21 and 22, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Our God is good, brothers and sisters, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them, what is the result? What is the fruit of that? Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. When he delivers you, it causes thanksgiving. It causes you to declare his works with rejoicing. These restored people offer up the sacrifice of praise to the glory of God. They are, in fact, bringing praise to the Lord. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Notice, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. That's Hebrews 13:15. The saints of God should praise the Lord because we were afflicted with a deadly disease, that being the dominion of sin, from which we could never recover. We were afflicted. He came to where we were, and he ministered to us, for he is the great physician. In verses 23-32, he saves those that are laboring in the desert. They're tossed about. In verses 22-27, they're tossed about. They're suffering highs and lows. They're weary. They're helpless, afraid, unsure of their next step. They don't know where to turn. This is a word for those sailors navigating the stormy seas of life before Christ found us. We were floundering at the cruelness of this world. And now that has saved us, we'll find that we are still buffeted by stormy seas, but yet we can find our help and deliverance in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. I'm looking at verse 28, Psalm 107. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Oh, praise the Lord. He delivered them. He calmed the sea. He brought them joy, success, safety, and peace. He brought them out of the storm and into rest. The storms of life may rage against you today, but I want to remind you that Jesus Christ, He's still the master of the sea. He can still walk on the water. He can still cry, "Peace, be still," and the waves will be quieted at His command. Just as He spoke to the waves and calmed them, then He can still do the same today. He has not changed. And the result of it all, verses 31 and 32. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders, exalting Him, praising Him, giving Him thanks. The saints of God should praise the Lord because we were tossed about on the sea of life. Our vessels were doomed to be dashed to pieces upon the rocks of God's judgment. His wrath was abiding upon us. He came to us, walking upon the storms of our life. He spoke peace to the waves that tossed us about, and He led us safely into the harbor of His grace. The harbor of His grace. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Those verses, my friend, are for those that have rejected the mercy of God, that think that they are the master of their own lives, those who have rejected the Almighty God of this universe. Those who have said, "I can do this on my own. Who is this God?" Man is God, they say. But one of Christ's titles is Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And that if He has turned rivers into a wilderness, the water springs into dry ground, the fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. If He has done that to you, for your sins, the good news of the gospel says to come to Christ today, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For even if you have all that this world has to offer, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Eventually, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100, sooner or later, if you do not come to Jesus Christ, the rivers will be turned into a wilderness, the water springs into dry ground, the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Eventually, that is where you will find yourself apart from Christ. Come to Christ today, whosoever will come. And child of God that's listening today, brother, sister, saint of God that's listening today, that is what God has done. He has changed your wilderness. He has changed your dry ground. He has changed your barrenness. For He has fulfilled what was said by Him in Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. My friend, if you're listening today, this is the acceptable day of the Lord. Oh, let us praise God for his goodness.